Hey guys, it's Mrs. Daniels, and we have a test coming up, so I thought I'd put out a few little review tips for you. I'd like to get you guys doing the broadcasting here, but Mr. Evans and I don't have our podcasting system up yet. We will hopefully by the time of the next test. So for those of you who are interested in mixing or broadcasting, we'll get you on here real soon. On to the test. Your test is Wednesday and Thursday, covers chapters 9 and 10. And you should have a study guide in class Monday or Tuesday, and the study guide is available online at www.mrsdaniels.com. I want to hit on just a few key points here, things that aren't on the study guide or some tips or clarifications on some things here. So as I go, I will pause in a few places to let you make some notes, write some things down, pound this into your head in whatever way you're using. The key things that this test will be over start with Washington, President Washington's terms in office. The key points for Washington's terms are, of course, as listed on the study guide, his precedence, his cabinet, and his farewell address, along with the issue of neutrality. Some things you should know here, precedence, know the definition. A precedent is an example that you set that others follow. These are things that are not written down. They're not in the Constitution. They're just examples that Washington set and others followed. For example, serving two terms in office was a precedent. He could have served as long as he wanted, but he chose to serve two terms and step down. And after him, other presidents did the same thing, served two terms and stepped down. Establishing his cabinet is another important thing he did. Key members of his cabinet to know are Jefferson, Secretary of State, Hamilton, Secretary of the Treasury, and Henry Knox, Secretary of War. Along with his cabinet, Washington faced one major decision to make, and that had to do with neutrality. There's a war going on in Europe. Do we side with England or France? England or France? And he debates this, and Washington chooses to stay neutral. Along with neutrality, Washington issues the Neutrality Proclamation. Neutrality Proclamation, which officially says we're not taking sides in this conflict. It's Europe's problem. The U.S. is not getting involved. And when it becomes necessary for the U.S. to officially get involved because of attacks on U.S. ships, Washington sends John Jay. Remember John Jay? Of course you do. John Jay was the one who helped negotiate the Treaty of Paris at the end of the Revolution. He's also the first Supreme Court Chief Justice. John Jay is the first Supreme Court Chief Justice. Know that. And Washington sends him to Europe to negotiate a treaty to stop attacks on U.S. ships with England. It's called Jay's Treaty, and overall, it's largely unsuccessful. Be sure that you know a lot about the political parties, who founded them, what they believed. When you think about this, think about it logically. The two political parties are the Federalists and the Democratic Republicans. The Federalists favor a strong central government, federalism, federal government, national government. They're the ones in favor of a strong central government, led by Alexander Hamilton, who, if you remember from the cabinet, is the Secretary of the Treasury, has very strong financial interests. So when it comes to choosing who to side with, who are they going to pick? France, who has no money and is in the revolution, or England, who could be a major trading partner? The Federalists, led by Alexander Hamilton, favor a strong central government and England as a trading partner, along with they're in favor of setting up a national bank. The Federalists are strongly in favor of a broad or loose interpretation of the Constitution. Interpret it broadly. If it doesn't say it exactly, you can still do it. It doesn't have to be word for word exactly what the Constitution says. Interpret it in a loose, elastic type fashion. It can bend, it can change, it doesn't have to be exact. The Democratic Republicans, or Republicans on the other side, are led by Thomas Jefferson, our first Secretary of State. Keep in mind with Jefferson, he wrote the Declaration of Independence. He helped write the Bill of Rights. Here is a person who has, since England controlled our country, been in favor of a strong state government. He does not like the national government having too much power. He didn't like it when England ruled the colonies. He doesn't want it now that we're our own country. So the Republicans, with Jefferson, favor states' rights. They also favor a strict interpretation of the Constitution. If it doesn't say it, you can't do it. They're also going to side with France in this conflict. France is fighting a revolution for the same ideas the United States had fought ours. Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence, is of course going to be in favor of the French and their cause. So when you break down the political parties, Federalists think federal national government, strong central government, Alexander Hamilton, national bank, strict interpretation of the Constitution, and side with England. When you think of the Republicans, think Thomas Jefferson, states' rights, side with France, and strict or narrow interpretation of the Constitution. Also be able to tell me who some of the earliest leaders of our country, which political party they were in. This includes Adams, John Adams, Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and Aaron Burr. For the election of 1796 and 1800, know that there were problems with the Electoral College. In 1796, we ended up with the first and second place candidates of two different political parties. So we had a president, John Adams, who was a Federalist, and a vice president, Thomas Jefferson, who was a Democratic Republican. In 1800, it was a tie between Jefferson and Burr, and the House of Representatives had to decide who would be president and who would be vice president. And the result of those two problems is that they passed the 12th Amendment so that now president and vice president are elected on the same ticket. Alien and Sedition Acts and the Kentucky and Virginia Resolutions. Alien and Sedition Acts were passed by President Adams, who was tired of the criticisms he was getting and wanted to get more votes for the Federalists, so he passed the Alien and Sedition Acts to try and prevent Republicans from voting or voicing their opinion. Aliens, those people coming into the country, oftentimes were Republicans, and this prevented some of the aliens from voting or from voicing their opinions against the government, for anyone voicing their opinions against the government. And this has to stand out to you as completely against the Bill of Rights. You can't do this constitutionally, and the Republicans said so. So Jefferson and James Madison wrote up the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions that said a state could nullify, be sure you know that word, nullify, N-U-L-L-I-F-Y, a federal law if they didn't like it. That means they could choose to not follow it. We know today you can't do that. A state can't choose to not follow a federal law, but that was the point they were trying to make, is does a state, a question they were raising, is does a state have to follow a federal law that they don't feel is fair? The issue is never resolved, and we'll come back to that same issue when it comes time for the Civil War. The Civil War is going to raise these exact same questions years down the line. Marbury versus Madison. The biggest thing you should know about this, Marbury versus Madison, put it with judicial review. If you don't know why Marbury sued Madison or what the case was about, it doesn't matter. The thing that does matter is knowing that the result of this case is they said, the Supreme Court said, that the courts have the right to review cases or laws or actions and rule them unconstitutional. So the power of judicial review, that check to declare laws unconstitutional, came from the case Marbury versus Madison. That's all you need to know. Marbury versus Madison, judicial review. as far as some people to know with the Louisiana Purchase, know who we bought it from, and that was Napoleon. Know Lewis and Clark were the main explorers leading that expedition, and know how Sacagawea helped them. The whole fact is that without Sacagawea, they probably wouldn't have been successful at all. The one other explorer there is Zebulon Pike. I know you love the name Zebulon. Zebulon Pike, who came a little bit after Lewis and Clark and explored an area a little bit further south than where they had gone. As far as fighting goes during this time period, be aware of who the Barbary States were and why we fought against them. The fact that the Barbary States demanded bribes, they were pirates, basically demanded bribes from the U.S. We refused to pay their bribe, Jefferson did, so they took some of our ships prisoner. Our Marines went in, fought back, and won against Tripoli. Know about the Indian problems the settlers were having as they moved west. And by west, where do I mean? Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, that area. So some of the problems they ran into with the Native Americans who didn't want them taking their land, obviously. So some battles that took place, like the Battle of Fallen Timbers or the Battle of Tippecanoe, and who Tecumseh and his brother the Prophet were. They were those Indian leaders who tried to unite the Native American tribes against the settlers moving into their land. That's Tecumseh and his brother the Prophet tried to unite Native Americans against the American settlers trying to take their land. The overall issue with Native Americans is that America sometimes tried to be fair by buying land from them or coming to terms in treaties like the Treaty of Greenville, but the terms of these treaties or the money that was offered was not always fair. And the fact is, if the Indians didn't like the treaty or didn't think the money was fair, they didn't have any other choice because our very next step was send in the military. Here's some money, you don't like it, here are our troops, deal with it. So as far as Native Americans went, we tried peacefully, but did not hesitate to use troops if that didn't work. Finally, the last thing for this test is the War of 1812, and be sure you can identify what got us into the War of 1812, especially impressment of U.S. sailors by British Navy, that forced enlistment of U.S. troops by British Navy, where they would just come and take our troops and force them to serve for the British Navy. Attacks on U.S. ships by British ships, and the fact the British were arming Native Americans like Tecumseh to help fight against American settlers. And the Warhawks, led by, of course, Henry Clay from Kentucky, tried to get us into this war to stand up for ourselves to fight back against the British. Know some of the major battles, including the Battle of Lake Erie. That was Oliver Hazard Perry. We have met the enemy and they are ours. Battle of Lake Erie. What happened at Washington, D.C. The USS Constitution, whose nickname was Old Ironsides. And finally, the Battle of New Orleans. Battle of New Orleans, which actually took place after the war had ended, because they hadn't got word that the treaty had been agreed on. And then finally, the treaty that ended the war, which is the Treaty of Ghent, G-H-E-N-T, Ghent. And while this treaty didn't get us land, and it didn't get us money, and it didn't really accomplish a whole lot, what the War of 1812 did was basically prove our worth in the world. It proved that America winning the Revolution was not an accident, it wasn't a fluke, that we deserved it, we could fight for ourselves, we could stand up for ourselves, and we deserved to be a country. It proved that to England, and it proved that to other countries in the world as well. The War of 1812 is often called the Second War for Independence, because it really was us proving that we deserved to be an independent country. Well, hopefully some of this helps you to study for the test. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact me, come in and see me in my room, or send me an email, and I'll be happy to get back to you. Test is Wednesday and Thursday, and hopefully everyone does wonderfully on it. It will be your last major grade for the 9 weeks. Good luck. Today's podcast was a production of Mrs. Daniels at Reynoldsburg Junior High in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. The music is called Pourquoi Me Révéler by Fading Ways and is protected under Creative Commons license.